Welcome to the PCB Chat, where we talk with experts across the print circuit design, manufacturing, and electronics supply chain fields. I'm Mike Buteau, Editor-in-Chief of PCD&F and Circuits Assembly. My guest today is Joe Fama. Joe is an expert in electronics manufacturing services, with more than 30 years helping OEMs and EMS companies, particularly in Southeast Asia. Joe specializes in taking relatively unknown electronics companies and linking them with key OEMs. His career has taken him to Singapore, Malaysia, China, Mexico, and the Philippines. He also writes the occasional column for us. Welcome, Joe.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Great, thanks.
Okay, thanks for the invite, and I'm looking forward to this chat.
So, Joe, when we think of Asia, we think of high-volume production. But you see an unmet need for NPI and an opportunity for domestic U.S. companies to team with their Asian counterparts.
That is correct. It's a given in any business that companies are always looking to expand and looking for new business. In my travels, I see a tale of two scenarios that we could bridge together. And it's something that I came across by accident. And now it has become part of my intent to build business and to create new markets. All right, so I found that American tier three and smaller companies, we can call them mom and pop, are resolved by the geographical limitations and how they operate. Obviously, they're engrossed in their own niche and position as a small player in the big pond of global EMS electronics. So their local reach is limited, and certainly, in my discussions with companies in this ilk, they have told me that they're not part of the overall global marketplace. And I challenge them with that discussion. And certainly, for some of these small EMS companies, I do enlighten them. In the huge global industry, it is very difficult for NPI companies to reach out. I mean, they don't have the budget, and certainly they don't have the knowledge to do that. And that is how this NPI arrangement will work in favor of them. On the other side, in the Pacific, there are Asian Tier 2 and Tier 3 EMSs that are basically set up for mass production, and they're always looking for low-cost, high-volume customers. Typically, they prefer American and even European OEMs. However, unlike the big-box Tier 1 competitors that they're up against all the time, they don't have that opportunity. One of their limiting factors is they do not have the budget or knowledge to create a U.S. operation for business development. We see today in the industry that there are more NPI acquisitions to fulfill this type of need, but that type of expense is not really needed using the NPI approach that I'm going to be explaining. So the typical Asian Tier 2, Tier 3 mass production EMSs are limited in business growth, and they basically await for the trickle of internet leads, the infrequent sales visit from U.S. or Europe, and the happenstance of word of mouth. In essence, these Asian companies are reactive to their market, not proactive. So the agenda of the NPI business relationship is to bridge the American NPI EMS with Asian Tier 2 and Tier 3 high-volume, low-cost EMSs. Both parties come from totally different environments and capabilities, yet there is a synergy of mass production from the phasing of early design concept via the NPI through full mass production going to Asian assembly facilities.
So, Joe, from a partner standpoint, how would this all work?
Well, the first and most paramount element of this partnership is trust. And that's a very, very generic element in any business. And sometimes it's very difficult to find that company in Asia that an American company will basically open up their customer base to these Asian companies. But they're out there, and there's some very fine Asian companies in Singapore and China and even in the Philippines and Thailand. But you have to find them, and part of the whole process is to vet those companies, not only from a trust and ethical standpoint, but also from an operational standpoint. But they're out there, and that's the key in how this thing gets started. The element of a binding contract is most important. Even a handshake agreement is not good enough. My strong recommendation is to put together a contract under U.S. business law and or under the international guidance of the American Arbitration Association. This will neutralize any attempt to pull a contract or not to honor it, which at times does occur coming out of Asia. And again, part of the vetting process is to ensure that the potential partner that you choose has accepted these guidelines of an American business law contract, and certainly under the American Arbitration Association. So there are good templates that can be constructed for the purpose of putting together this type of NPI relationship. Once this solid contract is in place, the NPI can advise their local customers of a partner in Asia that has been vetted as a reliable EMS provider. And this will also entail some of the alignments of their process control, quality levels, etc. Once the American introduces the Asian partner, the Asian partner then will become active as a promotional and selling entity to the customer. The Asian EMS partner must be visible to the customer, and this is not a buy-sell situation. In fact, the business alignment will be from the U.S. customer to the Asian EMS directly. We're not looking for the NPI to be a middleman, but he will basically take the role of a sales representative, meaning that there will be some kind of commission or royalty that comes out of it. But what we're doing is we're securing a relationship between the American customer and the Asian mass production EMS. So once there is an agreement between the OEM and the Asian EMS, then there is a phase of turning over all the documents and tools to accommodate mass production. So by doing this, the scaling of production in Asia becomes rapid and efficient, while the NPI remains in the mix to guide the Asian EMS of the production methods and its design. So this is a very efficient way to go from prototyping into mass production. Typically, what will happen is the mass production house in Asia will then have to more or less rediscover the assembly process and all of its guidelines. But here we have a compatibility and transition from the NPI directly into the Asian EMS. So we have now a relationship among the three parties, the U.S. NPI, the Asian EMS, and the American OEM. Each of these entities are in a situation of a win scenario, and essentially a win-win-win scenario. The U.S. NPI is now in a situation where they will have a 2-3% royalty for the turnover of the Asian from the turnover of the customer into the Asian EMS. Formally, they would receive nothing once the prototypes are ending. So is their revenue. Now they're going to receive a perpetual return of revenue for business that they may have done 3, 6, even 1 year ago. And the contract will be designed that it is perpetual and non-cancelable. And that's something we can address in part of the contract. The NPI also now has created an efficient trail of business from the U.S. into Asia, which makes them even more attractive to that particular OEM or any other OEM that is looking for this type of transition. They now become, quote unquote, experts in the transition from the U.S. to mass production going over to Asia. So it does elevate the U.S. NPI to a much higher level. The Asian EMS now has a customer that they most likely never heard of before or even ever have a chance to do business with. It's found business. On their side also, gaining this customer had no investment or risk in developing the sales or marketing to win this business. So it's a non-lose situation. They can only gain from this NPI relationship. They also are in a position to win new business from this NPI through the same customer, or the NPI may turn over new customers to them based on the success of the relationship, which does happen. And for the customer, they now have a reliable linkage from the local to global EMS supply chain. And that is very important to them, that they're not going from a U.S. entity and to a totally different environment without any continuity of technical or commercial linkage. So the customer has a very easy transition from prototyping on into mass production. This also works in a way of having a quote-unquote one company solution. And this is a way, and I've written about this before, and how smaller entities, smaller NPI companies, and even small mass production companies in Asia can work together to beat the tier ones who have basically NPIs in every state or every major city, and they have EMS facilities all over the world, and that becomes that one company solution. So with this NPI arrangement, all of those advantages are at least met by these small players in the vast global market. The customer also has an advantage and certainly a peace of mind that they're not cutting the umbilical cord between them and the NPI. The NPI remains with the product for the life of the product. They keep their ear to the ground, and also it enables them to be efficient for the next program coming out or for the next iteration of that same product. The other possibility that's created since the NPI remains in place is that the NPI then can become a viable repair, refurbish, and replacement service at the local NPI facility, and that enhances the attractiveness of the Asian mass production EMS, because again, that's something that the tier one EMSs typically harbor and use as a promotion. So with all that said and done, the MPI arrangement does elevate the local NPI, the mom and pop shop, and also brings to market those selected partners in Asia. It could be anywhere in Asia. And for some of these NPI companies, they can have solutions in the Philippines, in China, in Vietnam, et cetera. They're not limited to one. This is just basically a contract per customer that they bring in. So it gives the local NPI a huge menu of options that they can begin to talk to their customers about.
So you mentioned some very clear long-term revenue streams, which is unusual for MPI EMS companies, and that sounds fantastic. Culture and distance are, only two of some of the potential hurdles, I guess, for doing business across continents and oceans. Besides trust, what are some of the other key aspects for a good partnership?
Well, it is in the end, everything is person to person. So I would say that the key is to have a commitment between the local NPI and the mass production companies to forge together a partnership that is not intended for just one and done kind of programming. And I've been a privy to this type of relationship where companies have these very long-term relationships, and there's a trust between the entities of Asia and also in the U.S. So I do see in California, and we'll call it the West Coast, but predominantly is Silicon Valley and all the way down to San Diego, that the demographics of the managers and owners of companies, OEMs, have a high content of Asian American managers. And as a result, I think they're, the West Coast companies are more prone to go to Asia for their EMS sourcing. Obviously, location is key. I mean, to travel from, let's say, San Francisco to Hong Kong could be no more than 9 hours. Also, the time difference or the time zone differences, it could be anywhere from 9 to 13 hours, depending on daylight savings. But that gives the West Coast companies a little bit more of an overlap of their office hours. So, I worked in California for 10 years back in the 80s and 90s. And there, we would stay late in the day. And that would be the Asia's early morning, let's say 8, 9 o'clock, and that would allow us to have overlap in our office hours, so that we can speak to groups at a time. Also, of course, because of the demographics, the culture of Asia, the Asia businessmen are a little bit more familiar with the. With the West Coast management. Now, on the eastern side of things, it's different. I mean, I wrote about this in an article called The Continental Divide, where in the East Coast, you're 12 and 13 hours away time zone-wise, and communication is a lot different. I mean, most people on the East Coast are home before the Asia offices open up. And that's a problem, because now people are working out of home and they just don't have that the communication continuity that you would have if there was an overlap. Also, the demographics on the East Coast has very little to do with Asian Americans, just by location. And as a result, the culture becomes a little bit more difficult to understand, certainly unfamiliar. So I see the East Coast being more prone to move business to Mexico. And certainly we can, you can see that in the Midwest, with Texas and what have you, that is, it's very easy to go to Mexico, but, I find that, East Coast OEMs are a little more reluctant to go to Asia because of communication, time difference, and culture. Now, with the NPI program, that transition from the East Coast into Asia, as opposed to going from East Coast to Mexico, is a lot easier because now you have a conduit who's familiar with the Asian mass production company and the necessity to be on the phone and communicate with the Asian EMS is minimized. It's never eliminated, but certainly it's minimized. So it's a matter of comfort. It's a matter of familiarity. But I do see the NPI relationship as one that could bring and bridge OEMs from the U.S. through the NPI into Asian EMS mass production companies.
So while we've concentrated mostly on Asia, I would imagine that if there's a bias among U.S. companies toward you know, the geography based on where the U.S. company is, I suspect that this could apply to Eastern Europe as well.
Absolutely. There's no limit. I mean, it could apply anywhere. And as I said earlier, the NPI has the option to have many partners. All right. So they can look at a menu of Asian assembly houses. Also, Mexico, they can do the same thing there, and Eastern Europe, etc. So this is not for Asia, but I speak to you from my experience, which is predominantly Southeast Asia, but it could be anywhere. Yes.
And Joe, you've managed to successfully set up and implement exactly this kind of program, correct?
Yes. In the beginning, in the earlier years, it came by accident. But then I started seeing these trends where things worked and they began to grow, and certainly stuff that I worked on 25 years ago are still in operation today. It's kind of curious. And they all have the same thing. Oh, Mr. Juan and Mr. Smith are both good friends, and now we do a lot of business together. So, you know, in the beginning, it was kind of by happenstance, and I don't want to say coincidence, but it was true intuitive thinking. Now it has become part of my my resume of building new business from two unlikely characters, one in the U.S. and then one, of course, in Asia.
Well, Joe, as always, it's been great to chat with you. I appreciate you coming on to PCB Chat.
It's my pleasure, Mike. Always fun to talk to you.
Folks who want to get in touch with Joe may contact him at joefama, that's J-O-E-F-A-M-A, @gmail.com. This has been PCB Chat with Mike Buto. Have a nice day.